Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
This.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
But I'll probably hate it.
.304 in the afternoon here. Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub, FM dial in Boston, simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Catch us 24/7 on the app, 98, the Sports Hub app. It's a great product. Just download that thing and the stream pops right up. You can also get all of our replays and podcasts on that thing. So if you miss us in real time, catch us that night or the next morning on the app. Also tonight, I'm going to try something a little new. New feature coming up here on the Felger and Maserati program. We're going to start doing a Facebook Live program after the show a couple days a week, okay? It's going to start tonight, except Maz and Murray are going to be doing the baseball. Everyone's going to be doing the baseball reporters. I'm pretty much going to be doing it by myself.
So that first episode will be a lot of swearing.
How the use this?
Exactly.
Felger unplugged.
Yeah. Hopefully there's a tech guy with me to walk me through the entire thing, but I'll do it back in the control room, so I'll be behind. This is good. I'll be behind Stuart and Billy Lanny chirping their asses.
Oh, I like it.
As opposed to the other way around.
I've got notes.
So
we're going to critique your ass.
Little role reversal. Boomerang.
So when the baseball...
You know, Mike, I really didn't like that you begged falls at 2:03 today.
When the baseball reporters ends, all of us will do it together starting at 6 o'clock. But for now, while the baseball reporters are still going on, it's me, Stuart and Lanny in the control room, Facebook Live. Ask us to call up.
Baseball reporter show doesn't matter.
Do whatever you want.
No worries.
Do whatever you want. Call us. Are you like blaming me for that because you think this is my idea?
No.
Okay. So join us on that, Facebook Live, however you do that. And then you can interact with us, however you do that.
Yeah, my face.
I can't wait to see you with your reader glasses on trying to read the comments on Facebook Live on this little iPad screen.
We'll do that tonight at 6:15 if you want to join us. Mike in New Hampshire, lead us off this hour. Go ahead, Michael.
I just want to ask you if you feel the same way about Brock Holtz.
In terms of what?
Well, about a month and a half ago, you ripped him. You said that he was horrible and he shouldn't even be on the team. They have to get rid of him.
So I think most people on the show are not Brock Holt fans.
Yeah, my answer is yes. I still feel the same way about him. That would be my answer. And look, he's going to be on the playoff roster. Last night might have been a good illustration why. They wanted the lefty bat up there. And if it's not Moreland, it'll be him. So, he gives you a little more flexibility than, you know, Phillips, Nunez, and Kinsler. Right? The three of those guys sort of replicate one another too much.
Why don't you like him as a player?
I just think he's overrated as a player. That's all. I don't mind him as a utility guy. I wouldn't pay him what they're paying him. And it's not all that much. It's a couple of million bucks, which in Major League Baseball is half of what you pay an average player. But even so, the way people talk about him, he made the All-Star game that 1 year. Somehow he's like an irreplaceable part. He's a utility guy. You can find those guys growing trees, for crying out loud. You just pluck one and put the next one in. I think they'd have been just as capable with Su Wei Lin playing all year here as Brock Holt.
The Sox always have one guy that people... It used to be Daniel Nava, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's always that guy that people just gravitate to. For some reason, they like it. They like the third, fourth line grinder more than the star. They like the utility player more than the starter.
Because that's what most people were. That's why. They can relate to that guy because they think he has a head for the game and he tries hard and doesn't have ability as anyone else. And, of course, that's what we all are. We were someone who tried hard, which is a complete load of crap because most of us didn't try at all.
Billy in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Billy.
How you doing, Felger?
Good. What do you got?
I got a comment. I want to thank Maz for talking so much about the Red Sox and getting them to the finals. And he still says if they lose the final that they've lost everything. I mean, it doesn't mean anything.
That's not what I said.
I disagree 100%. My reasoning is, If they make it all the way to the finals of the World Series, that's one hell of an accomplishment, number one. Number two, 3 years in a row they finished first over the Yankees, which is the best feeling for Red Sox fans in the world. But I'm going to tell you one other thing. If I was worried about who would do the worst,
hey,
or
Billy,
who's got the most pressure, it'd be the Yankees if they get beaten a wild card. That would be unbelievable that the Yankees don't even go to a second round. So that's my comments. I like to hear what you have to say.
Okay, Billy, while you're yucking it up off the air, here's what I would like to tell you. Last year, the Red Sox won the division. Whose year would you rather have, the Red Sox or the Yankees? Like, this one cracks me up. That's all we care about is winning the division? The Yankees made a run to the in the LCS last year, almost went to the World Series. They had the way better October than you did. You'd rather have that division title? Because I wouldn't. I wouldn't want anything. I don't want anything to do with that division title if you're going to get your ass kicked in the division round again. And what I said with regard to the Red Sox was, I don't expect them to win the World Series. So this one irritates me because I feel like I get taken out of context or misquoted or whatever. What I said was, if their bullpen bites them in the ass, even in the World Series, Dave Dombrowski cannot live it down. You can't let him off the hook. If they get to the World Series and their bullpen costs them the championship, Dave Dombrowski is the one that's responsible for that.
And you have more pressure on you than the Yankees do on them. No, I'm not saying the Yankees have no pressure. Of course they have pressure. It's the Yankees and that market and the whole thing. They went to Game 7 of the ALCS last year, so they have pressure, no doubt. You have more. You have more. The Yankees get the benefit of treating themselves like underdogs. They come into a series against you as an underdog. That's where you'd rather be. Anyone would rather be an underdog than a favorite. And so they have that little benefit. If they lose to you, it's going to suck, and there's pressure, but it's not like they blew it. No, they would have lost to a better team that proved it over a 162-game season. If you lose to them...
Oh, big time. Again, and look,
it's different.
I'm not telling you I feel, you know, if you would ask me objectively, looking at the Yankees right now, how do you feel about them? They feel like they're coming apart. They're being held together by duct tape, for crying out loud.
You should beat that team in four games.
So, but I will tell you this. In October, if they ever put it together, they're still scary. There's like, I don't know what's going to happen with Judge. I don't know what's going to happen with Chapman, their bullpen. I don't know any of that.
Is Judge even taking batting practice yet?
He has started, but his wrist is still not responding the way
Shocker.
They want. Yeah, exactly.
I love when they came out and said 3 weeks.
I mean, I don't think he's going to be right till next season, if you ask me. But you never know. Who knows? I have no idea. And maybe something crazy happens and Stanton gets... I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen. Oftentimes, if the Yankees click, do not take them lightly. They have a high ceiling.
Steven Roslindale. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
First of all, the Yankees never go away. I was born and raised in Hyde Park. So I'm telling you now, if you look at the 1995 Cleveland Indians lineup and put it against Maddox, Glavine, and Smoltz.
I hear what you're saying. Okay, I got you. You have to beat the Yankees. The Yankees have... Don't beat the Yankees by 10 games for the division in the regular season and then lose to them in the ALDS.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine what a kick in the Murray that would be?
Don't let that happen.
Seriously.
Don't let that happen.
Imagine if they win the division going away. Call it like even 11 or 12 games. They win and then they get to the Yankees in the playoffs and they get their asses
kicked. Don't let
kicked.
That happen. That can't happen. Can't happen.
Isn't that Bill Ricka's Tom?
Glavine.
Glavine, right. He grew up next to UC Irvine.
Glavine.
Steve in Providence. Hi, Steve.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What do you got?
I just wanted to speak on David Price's start tonight, even though as I look outside my window, I don't think he's going to be taking the mound. But hopefully he does. I'm excited, man. I used to hate this guy. I never wanted him to be a Red Sox. But, hey, when the guy pitches the way he's been pitching, I can't help but be a fan of his. So I'm excited. And real quick, Maz, on Brock Holt, he may be a utility guy. And he may be someone very interchangeable, but you have to give him one thing. He's pretty damn clutch coming off of that pinch hit spot, man. What did he have, two home runs this year? And it hasn't been done for us in a long time. So that might come clutch in the playoffs. You know, a pinch hit, a big moment when you need him. I don't know, man. That's why you guys talk about it.
Okay,
thanks.
Is Brock Holt clutch?
So he has had a two pinch hit home runs this year. I mean, like, you know, and I think that kind of thing can sort of snowball.
Sure.
Like, all of a sudden, a guy starts thinking he's a tough out in a big spot, and then he actually is. Now, I wouldn't expect home runs all the time, but nonetheless, you put him up in a big spot. I think he's a pesky hitter. So, you know, even against left-handed pitching, he's kind of a pain in the ass to pitch to because he fouls balls off, and he can be a tough out. So I don't mind him coming off the bench. He wouldn't be my first choice. But, you know, hell, if it, everything else is rolling for him this year, why not roll with that one too?
Okay, we're starting with the Red Sox. Your thoughts on Chris Sale last night and how they handled him, and what does that mean? What does that mean? That's my main takeaway. Boy, were they cautious. And what does that mean that they were so, so hyper-cautious? It's got to mean something, right? Your expectations of the team now that they've clinched. Who has the most pressure on them? Who's got the most pressure on them heading into the postseason? They can't lose in that first round. I'm sorry. Whether it's New York or Oakland, they can't lose. Who's got the most pressure to make sure they don't lose in that first round or, you know, even early in that ALCS? Who's got the most pressure on them? We're discussing those items with you right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
Foul tip to the mitt, held by Leon. A strikeout with that 80-mile-an-hour slider, back-to-back K's.
I thought it was a high leverage, you know, like he had to pitch from the get-go. He hasn't pitched in a while, so it made no sense for me. I was the one to make up the call. It made no sense for me to send him out there for 10 pitches, 12 pitches, whatever it was. So we're taking care of the guy. His mechanics weren't there, you know. He's like, kind of like he, you know, speed of the game. This is a big leagues, you know, and he hasn't pitched in a while. And Gurriel hits a double, and then he has to pitch, so I decided to take him out, and then he finished in the bullpen. I think he just felt out of sync all around. That's why he's out there, you know. He's getting ready. He'll be ready to pitch on Sunday, and hopefully he's going to be better.
That's sort of what you're talking about with Cora. That's telling it like it is. His mechanics weren't there, felt out of sync, which, you know, he's clearly, the tone isn't like he's ripping the guy or anything. But if you just read the words, would John Farrell ever come out after the game and say that Clay Buchholz's mechanics weren't there?
No, I'm so glad you just asked that the way you did, too, because to me, that's exactly, you know what Farrell would have said? Well, you know, first day back, velocity was there. He threw the ball well. We were happy with it. And, you know, we'll get him out there and we'll build on it. He never would have said any of the stuff that Cora said. Not in a million years.
And it's not ripping him. And it's, the tone is...
No, it's honest.
But it's just sort of... His mechanics weren't there. Felt out of sync.
I mean, and to me, again, I thought you could see it really early. Like, I'm talking five pitches in. Five pitches in, you could see the ball was shooting around a little bit. And he missed it. I want to say in the first four or five pitches, he missed in the same spot two or three times, which was up and away to a right-handed batter. And when that happens... Your timing's out of whack for a guy like him. His body's moving forward and the arm's dragging behind, so the ball flies up, and that's what happens. So you could see it, and then he tried to adjust and then started jerking the ball in. So he's not right. The timing's not right. The timing mechanism is not there. And that's one thing. Like you say, okay, the other thing was that slider. He struck two guys out on it, but it was flat. Those balls were hittable. They were up, you know, at about the knee or a little higher. And when he's right, that ball's buried down by the feet. It looks like a strike, but it's not. These were strikes, and they were hittable. He's got a lot longer way to go than I thought.
That's what my takeaway is from last night. And again, how afraid they were. What, am I going to throw him back out there for 10, 12 pitches? Why not? If that's the second inning, why not? Like, I don't get, what are you afraid of? Again, he had a 40-pitch limit, right? Two innings, 40 pitches. He threw 26 in the first inning. 26. Not 36. Not 38. 26. He's just a, you know, he's over, you know, halfway, but not that much. So let's say, I mean, isn't the whole process to sit down, get up, go back out, face the lineup, and if you get to 40 pitches, and yank him out on the second batter or third batter? What's the diff?
Yes, that's exactly what you're doing. Again, they got him in bubble wrap.
Bubble
they
wrap,
do. They,
totally.
They got him in bubble wrap. And, you know, so I don't think it's wrong to ask now. Maybe they're being a little too cautious. Like, again, if his timing's off and he doesn't have a feel for his breaking ball.
Well, so look, I'm not going to, I have no idea what kind of shape he's in. So I'm like, from the first sight, I'm not criticizing their approach. Their approach might be the right, I'm going to assume their approach is the right approach. But that means then he's really far away. Or that means that they're really scared of something. Or they're overly cautious. Why? So I'm taking it at face value that they're doing the right thing. They're doing the smart thing. They're being really cautious with them. But you only need to be really cautious with something that you are afraid of or is fragile.
Correct. Yeah, that's right. And look, the other thing is there is some measure of pitching to me that's rhythm and feel. right? And Eck made this point during the game last night. It was a good one. Sale gets the ball and throws it. Gets the ball and throws it. I mean, he works fast. Last night, he wasn't working fast.
So that was the that second piece to the Cora question. When he says, no, he was just out of sync, he was asked, was Sale working slower last night? And so maybe there was a little bit, because that wasn't a totally honest answer. No, he was out of sync, which is another way of saying his timing was different. So, I mean, all that being said, like, and I asked you before, you've got to ramp up to a certain degree to be ready to go in a start 3 weeks from Friday.
No question.
I mean, you want this guy going 100 pitches plus, seven innings. I mean, you need it with your bullpen. And so there's got to be a certain ramp up there. You can't just take a month and a half off and then do that. That's not the way that works.
No, I don't think so either. And again, because I think there's a certain amount of rhythm and feel to it. And usually you see it with the off-speed stuff and fastball command. Like, to me, that's where that stuff shows up. Your ability to throw your fastball and spot it where you want. And also the crispness of your breaking pitches. Is it there? And I didn't think either one was there last night. So I thought, I mean, again, for him, I thought that was borderline awful. Like, you know, again, borderline. Okay, because he is when he's right, he is so damn good and around the plate with everything that you have to swing because he's just so damn close and you're defensive the whole time. Last night wasn't even close.
Okay, back to your thoughts. Nick in the car. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going, Felger? Tony, I got to say I agree with you on every single front as far as Chris Sale is concerned. His arm is dragging. You can see it in his fastball leading to his slider not coming across as hard. All the above, definitely. 2 points. First, I want to get to the expectations. Honestly, I'm expecting this team to make it to the World Series. If they get to Game 7 and lose to Houston, like you said, I can kind of understand that, but I'm expecting this team to get to the World Series. Secondly, with Chris Sale, I was at the game last night. He came out after that 26 pitches, and then he went to the bullpen and threw some more. So my theory is they're trying to hide all the flaws and all the issues that he's facing right now until they feel that he's ready to go out there and impress everyone, because I'll tell you, last night I was not impressed.
Okay, so maybe. Like, the thing that him going out to the bullpen means he's not hurt.
Exactly right.
He's not hurt worse. Like, so that, like,
if he was hurt, they wouldn't have sent him out there.
I feel okay about that. Like, that was a good sign. He wasn't shut down after an inning. He just finished it up somewhere else. But even there, boy, that is really managing that situation.
Totally.
If he was... you know, totally set to go, and they were totally confident. After 26 pitches, they would have said, okay, go pitch your second inning. And at 40, which is our limit, we'll see where you are. If you've got someone 0-2 with two outs at your 40 pitch, you'll pitch 41 or 42. If not, we'll come get you. But there's just so overmanaged the thing, which tells you their level of concern.
I mean, we get caught up in these pitch limits. Like, the goal is for him to throw 40 pitches. So what if he throws 46? What's his arm going to fall off? And if those extra six pitches cause his arm to fall off, he wasn't going to make it anyway. Like, who's kidding who? So, look, they got him in bubble wrap. There's no two ways. Now, look, I get it in terms of the bullpen thing. Like, the idea is, you know what, let's just let him go out there, not overthrow. We don't want him amping it up to 99 or 100 tonight, needlessly, with two guys on. So let's not get caught up in that part of it. But you're not wrong to say they got him in, you know, in the shipping peanuts.
It was striking last night. Brian in Tingsboro, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is from Maz. Maz, I saw a tape of Crystal Sale on the mound the other day, and there's nothing to him. You know, I'd be more concerned about eating this guy some fraps or something for the rest of the four innings. But, you know, if someone in the first three rows passes gas, man, it'd blow him off the mound. So I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, he's a rail.
He's been that way his whole career.
Yeah.
He's been that way his whole career. Again, I told you, take a good look at him on the mound. Take a good look at his ass. He makes my ass look like Wiggy's. Huge. Huge. I look like Wiggy standing next to Chris Sale. But this is the reason they shut him down for 6 weeks. You know, they just looked at it and said, this guy's not going to make it. I mean, not at the level he was at. He'll make it through the season because he's tough. I'll give him that. He's tough. He's gritty. He's competitive. There's all of that. But the body doesn't sustain itself. His velocity, his command, all of it, it doesn't hold up. So they know they gotta, you know, turn it down a little bit for a little while.
Roger and Quincy, hi.
Yeah, hey, look, you guys can talk all you want about Chris Sale and David Price and everything else. This, don't take the cheese on this team, because they're not going nowhere with this bullpen. And that's what people seem to be forgetting about lately. And specifically, Joe Kelly. Look, admittedly, I don't like Joe Kelly. I think he sucks, okay? But I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I saw this last night, and it's now the second or third time. He's in the bullpen, and he's drinking Dr. Pepper out there. This guy's a professional athlete. You wonder why he goes out there every time and poops his pants on the mound. Maybe it's because he's drinking Dr. Pepper.
What's wrong with Dr. Pepper, Roger?
He's a professional athlete. You're drinking soda in the bullpen in the middle of a game like a 12-year-old boy at a birthday party.
I got it. Roger, great call.
That's one of the best calls ever.
Call us anytime, please.
Jimmy, clip that.
Mark that, yes, for sure.
Yeah, Dr. Pepper.
I'm a pepper. You're a pepper.
No, but it's...
Wouldn't you like to be a pepper, too?
Do you want
to
be drinking soda in the middle of the game?
It doesn't bother me.
Who cares?
I mean, look, in this day and age, usually it's some sort of like protein, you know, or enhanced
Gatorade
water.
Gatorade or, you know, something like that.
All of that.
Or sports drink.
Yeah, but I'm not surprised that Joe Kelly's drinking Dr. Pepper now that he brought it up. And I forgot the guy's name, but I'm
Roger.
With you. Roger. I hate Joe Kelly, too. I can't stand him. He drives me bananas. But you're wrong about us that nobody's harping on the bullpen. We're all harping on the bullpen because we understand the importance of it and what it's going to come down to. Again, look at that Houston series. Like, I just think that those moments are striking when all of a sudden it's Kelly or Hembree on the mound and you see Altuve get in the box. Or even Correa, who's having a crap year. Or I'll even say Marwin Gonzalez. Like, when they get in the box and it's Joe Kelly or Bregman, Bregman gets in there.
Or McCann or someone like all these guys that produced last year.
Like, I see those guys get in the box against the Red Sox relievers and I go, uh-oh. Mismatch. Like, and that's how I feel every time. Now, against bad hitters, they can get away with it. They have all year. But against a team like that, they are going to get hammered.
We continue with your Red Sox thoughts. They clinched their third straight postseason. They clinched the postseason last night. And yet we didn't see something. I was expecting something, and we didn't see it. We'll talk about that right after Murray's update.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, what did I not see last night? What did I not see last night, Murray?
I know what you're talking about.
What did I not see last night? They clinched the postseason.
Yeah, you didn't
see massive celebrations and the goggles and whatnot.
Beer goggles and like dancing around with the Bud Light carton on your head and like all that nonsense. What happened? Isn't that routine now?
Yeah, I'm not giving them credit for it yet. And I'll tell you why.
Because if they win the division, you think they're going to do it?
Yep.
I'll be impressed if they don't.
Okay, so will I. That's why I'm not giving them credit until they do it.
So I don't know if Ben or Vin out there at the NBC Sports Boston simulcast, the picture I saw today, I guess it was Stephen Wright tweeted it. They did like a little toast there with champagne or some sort of light brown. What do you think, Murray?
I don't know what that could be. Maybe some sort of a whiskey?
Oh, no, I get the answer for you.
I mean, it's
Dr. Pepper.
It's or hard cider.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what it is. It's not bubbly enough to be champagne, but they're all just the whole locker room is sort of toasting themselves. And so, like, that gives me hope.
Right. They're taking it a little more seriously.
If that's all they do for the division, oh, I'd be impressed. Alex. Do the same thing when you clinch the division.
See, but don't you feel like that's the tone he has set all year? And again, I come back to...
I'm not going to treat it like a small thing. You guys have won nothing yet.
No. I'm not saying it's a small thing. I'm saying it's a big thing, but keep going.
Yeah, you guys have won nothing yet. This prancing around like you've done something maybe is part of the problem. The millennial Red Sox. You haven't done anything. The expectations are far beyond what yours are, I guess, but... Just clinching a wild card or a division means diddly poo. It means squat. And finally, they're carrying themselves like that. So again, we'll see when they clinch the division. Here's hoping. Alex, do the same thing. Do the same thing.
I just feel like he has set a standard for them. And again, now the celebration thing, I still think they're going to go bananas when they win the division. They're going to look like a bunch of donkeys.
But if they
that's
don't,
what I think.
If they don't, credit to them because, you know, eyes on the prize. There's a bigger thing here.
This is what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
And Maz is getting someone in trouble for something. Maz is already ripping them for celebrating too hard when they clinch the division when they've done no such thing.
Nope, I'm just not giving them credit for something they haven't done yet.
In fact, last night, all they did was shake hands on the field and then go inside and have a little toast to something.
To you guys, champagne for my real friends, real pain for my sham friends.
Yeah.
But don't you have hope that they might?
Yeah, because again, and this is the connection I make, that again, and I go back to Devers making that base running mistake, and I don't remember where they were, and it was a horrendous mistake. And they asked Cora about it, and he said, you know, look, it just it can't happen. For where we want to go, we got to clean that up. And that just the way he put that, for where we want to go and what we're trying to accomplish, I think he's got that all got that drilled into their heads. I think it's reached the point where they're all looking at it going, we're not just trying to win a playoff series, fellas. That's not the goal here. The goal is the whole thing. So let's not get geeked up over the little steps along the way when it's ultimately about the final destination.
Okay, and believe me, like we all feel that way, and it feels elementary, but actually getting these guys to not do it, that's a thing. Like, that's no small thing, I mean to say. And I would give Cora a lot of credit if that's all they do when they clinch the division. Oh, that would give me such hope. And I also put it part and parcel with that David Price quote, Maz. He says, again, to Mass Live, I could go 35-0 in the regular season with a zero ERA, and it wouldn't matter. I need to win in October. Regular season means nothing to me. Winning in the regular season means nothing to me. So, again, you're not buying or no, you're saying that's putting more pressure on himself. I think it's a step forward because in the past when you've asked him about his postseason record, he said, well, I've won twice in the postseason. And he tries to shoehorn in those relief wins as winning in the postseason. So he's not being, it's not like he's denying the problem. He's hitting it head on.
No, so that's fair. And I told you, I didn't know whether it was a good thing or a bad thing because I can see it going the other way with him. But I do think, look, that I so badly want to believe in Alex Cora after the last few years with Farrell. Like, the nonsense that he would spew. Don't forget, 2 years ago, they blew a game in New York when Mark Teixeira won the game of the Grand Slam and they backed into the division title.
And made him celebrate almost.
Right. And so I look at that and say, like, that team was just, they weren't right. They didn't have the priorities weren't the right things. Like, and I feel like this guy's got it.
But now that you say it.
Oh, I can't disagree with that.
Sorry, John. Like the thing sponsored, it's become such a thing. They're all sponsored, right? You like the Budweiser banners or whatever the sponsors
Corbell
are.
Corbell champagne or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, there's so like.
Oh yeah, no. There's stupidity coming. I'm telling you.
I wonder if they are almost required to do it now because of the sponsorships.
Yeah, they're probably all going to have wearing their Oakley goggles or whatever else a stupid thing that they have to wear.
I think we have five number ones.
I'm telling you, there's a jackass moment coming over there when they win.
I don't
guaranteed.
Know. I'm just hoping it's less than what it's been. And that they're moving in the right direction, that there's some...
I'm not ruling it out at this
sort,
point.
John, that there's some sort of thing there where Alex Cora has imparted to them, where they've all just finally got it. You haven't done anything yet.
That's possible, yes.
It is possible. You haven't won anything. And can you carry yourself like... Can that be a mindset of this team? Because it wasn't the last couple of years.
See, I feel like, again, maybe I'm an idiot for believing this. I don't know. I want to believe in Cora, but I feel like he gets it. And I feel like, you know, they're going to celebrate when they win the division. I'm fairly certain of it.
But thanks for the heads up.
Beer goggles and champagne showers and the whole thing?
Yep.
With the tarps in the locker room?
Wait, I'm sorry, repeat that?
Yep, I'm telling you. It's going to be stupidity central. It will absolutely happen. I don't know that I've ever seen a baseball, well, maybe the Braves had it pretty reined in by the end because they won the division how many years in a row, and then they would lose in the playoffs. So they knew the end was coming anyway. Like, but I would hope that after it happens, Cora shuts the door and say, okay, now take down the plastic. And by the way, right back on the beam tomorrow because we get stuff to do. Okay, like this isn't it. So I feel like he's got that.
Okay, well, we're at least
spared. I hope
we were spared one night from the nonsense. More your Red Sox calls coming up next. Top of the hour, Paul Perillo, Patriots Football Weekly, a little sunshine.com for the first time this season. Looking forward to that. But right to your Red Sox calls after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the 3-1. And a high fly ball into right center. Backing up Bradley, Jackie there, he's got it, and the Red Sox have won it. A come-from-behind win, 7-2. The final win number 99 brings with it a postseason berth. That's locked up tonight.
We got a shot now. We have the elimination game now. We're in great position to win the division and to accomplish other things. But credit to them. I just told them, I told the group, I'm very proud of them. Regardless of what's going on around us, the winning streaks, the losing streaks, We stay together. They've been very consistent as far as showing up every day and preparing for the game and playing the game. I'm very proud of them.
Okay, there it is. David in Maine, your thoughts on the subdued celebration last night, Dave? Hello, David in Maine. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. All I wanted to know was, are these celebrations corporate sponsored, and do they have to do them?
I said that because and what reminded me was the thing that Farrell did a couple of years ago when they lost to the Yankees on a Teixeira Grand Slam, and then went into the locker room, and the whole thing was done up with the tarp and the Budweiser signs, and I keep saying Budweiser, maybe it was Coors Light, I don't know, but the beer signs, and so maybe it is. It's a required televised sponsored event now.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule that out. I mean, and I remember his message to the team at the time, right? Don't let tonight ruin your season long, blah, 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 blah. What a load of crap that was, like the whole thing. So I just think it's coming. It feels to me like Cora's got the more focus than Farrell did. Okay. And maybe that's the best way to put it. Like, keeping their eyes on what the ultimate objective is, they feel more dialed into me than they felt under Farrell in the last couple of years.
John in Maine, what do you got for us?
Hey, so this is for you, Anthony. I'm curious what you think about who's going to be on that 25-man roster, specifically the guys like Holt last night, Nunez. I know I've heard you talk about Kinsler. Now you have Phillips and Pierce. Who's not going to be making the trip? I'm curious what you think.
Okay, so I think Pierce is on. I think Holt is on. I think Nunez is on. Devers, I don't know about. I think Devers is, I don't know. That one doesn't feel like they want him on there. So I just don't think they trust him. And now, will Phillips get on there? Instinctively, I'd say after that game in Atlanta, he's got a shot, but they don't play him a lot. They said they're going to play him at first base. Like, it just doesn't feel like he's gotten a lot of time. And if you're going to have a guy on the team, you got to play him, don't you? And keep him sharp. So right now, I'd say Phillips is unlikely, but I wouldn't rule it out.
We've got Mike in Weymouth. What do you got for us, Michael?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about Chris Sale. It seems like it's possible that Cora was actually managing the game and thought, bringing Sale back in the second inning is not going to help you win this game. He didn't have it that night. And why risk bringing him in, having him, give up two hits, and then you bring in Evaldi, who's a starting pitcher. Now he's coming into an inning with guys already on base or something. What's the advantage to help win the game? I think it's less dramatic than they're scared to bring Sale in because they got him out in the bullpen and he did his work. It's just that it wasn't going to be productive. He's still trying to win games. It's not just about rehabbing Sale.
Again, I don't get this, I don't get the sensitivity to my take. I don't. But it's like twisting yourself in a pretzel. You think they were trying to win the game last night?
He didn't give up any runs.
He was worried about the game, so he took out Chris Sale.
No.
That's what we're now going to tell ourselves?
No. Listen, your instincts are right.
As opposed to the fact they're babying him. Like, really babying him.
They didn't want him to exert himself.
So what does that mean? Maybe that means a good thing. Maybe it means a bad thing. But, like, this stuns me. Like, what was the previous call? But there was another one. Just like all these excuses for why he came out in the first inning. I don't think he hurt himself last night. That's not why I think he came out. I think he came out because they are super caught. They are babying him, which to me is a little scary when his start is 3 weeks from Friday and he's got to start ramping up, not ramping down. And if you want him to go 7 innings, 100 pitches, does last night make you feel better or worse about his ability to do so?
Worse.
So that's all. I'm not telling you they handled it wrong. But again, wow.
People have their backs up because they're nervous, because they know without this guy, they have no chance. So this will be the winningest Red Sox team in Red Sox history. And without Chris Sale, so people are nervous and a little bit freaked out.
What was that again, Murray? What was that? There you go. So Sunday against the Mets, like, take the training wheels off. Can we take the training wheels off, please?
I'm not even telling you to do that. If he's not ready for it or that's not the smart thing to do, don't do that.
Mike, he's not going to be ready if they don't get him up to 65, 70 pitches. And then they have to get him up to 85 and then 100. Like, they need to do that.
But if he's not ready to do it, then that would be stupid.
Okay, but if he's not ready to do it, then they're not going to make it.
Well, then that's what I'm scared of. But I'm not. They shouldn't just do it to do it. He's got to be physically ready, and they have to be confident in him to do it. Last night they weren't, and his start is 3 weeks from Friday. So just how do you feel about that? We've got Mike and Peabody. Hi, Michael. What do you got for us today?
Yeah, Maz.
Yeah,
Felga. You guys are ridiculous about your playoff opinion. Like, Houston's a wagon. Like, how are they a wagon? They remind me of the 2017 Red Sox. None of the players are living up to their potential. Their bullpen might be just as bad as ours. And then Oakland, like, it's a disappointment if they lose. But
What? Wait a minute. What? What'd you say about their bullpen?
Yeah, and where are you getting that from? He said their bullpen might be just as bad as ours. And based on what?
Mike? Did you watch them in the last series?
Yeah, in the last series. That's one series. The season long. They've blown saves. They had to go out and get a wife beater to help their team. And he still isn't. He's not going to turn the whole thing around.
He's not?
Mike, Houston has the best bullpen ERA in baseball.
All right. Maybe I should check my facts before next time.
Yeah, maybe you should.
All right. Maybe. Next time, though. I'll have something better then.
Okay, why are we talking up Houston, the defending champion?
Yeah.
Who has, you know, roughly the same team?
So I'll tell you what scares me about the Astros, and it's what they illustrated last October. They get off to this ridiculous start, right, last year, and then they kind of coasted, and everyone said, well, they only played, you know, they played 500 for the last half of the season. And you know what it was? The games didn't mean anything, so they coasted. Then when the games meant something again, you know what happened? They took it to a level that no one else could go to. So that's what scares me about Houston. And I felt like they did a little of that in this series with the Red Sox. That a couple of those games they were behind, and all of a sudden they get to the late innings, and there were matchups that were in their favor, and they teed off. And so I look at them and go, that team's scary, because they can turn it on and off. They know they're good.
Houston has the best bullpen ERA in baseball, and it's not even close. They have a 2.88 bullpen ERA. The next one is the Yankees at 3.25. You're in sixth in baseball with 3.47. Not shabby. Sixth place is decent, but they are a full, over half run better than you. Let's do batting average against. Batting average against, the Houston has the best bullpen in the major leagues, not the American League. They are number one out of 30 with a batting average against of 2.12. The Red Sox, not bad. Top 10, 2.34, 20 points higher than Houston. So again, this is just a caller who said what? Based on one series. We're not basing it on one series. What else do you want to play with? Let me just play with the columns.
So I'll tell you, the other one to me that stuck out is they throw strikes. They throw strikes. Those guys come in and they throw strikes, one guy after the next. Whether it's Presley, whether it's Osuna. There was that other guy they had that I think they moved to the bullpen from the rotation. Oh, God, his initials are...
McHugh?
No. J&J. Something Joyce or Jones.
Oh, the guy they called up from the minor leagues.
Yeah, that guy.
Jones James?
That guy. He throws bullets, too.
He's from My Morning Jacket.
He's another one. Like, holy crap, I looked at him and I said, my God, they got another one on top of it? That guy was throwing pills, too. Like, I look at it and I say, it's unbelievable. It's just one after the next. They added Joe Smith to that staff, too. Like, I just, they're loaded. They are loaded.
Sensitive fans.
I just like a random pop culture reference from you, Felger.
Thank you.
From the last 20
You're
years.
Welcome. You're welcome. Yep. Mm-hmm.
What was it?
Jim Jones from My Morning.
Oh, Day. Yeah. That's what going Jim with. Jones. Yeah.
It's like, you can't say Houston's a good team.
No. It's insulting.
It's like you say, you can't say Aaron Rodgers had a great night.
No, and you can't say Corey Kluber's a good pitcher or just as good as Sale. You can't say that. It's not allowed.
Speaking of, nothing in particular, it's time for some football. We just gave you 2 full hours of baseball, wall to wall. How'd you feel about it? I felt pretty good. And we'll get back to it in the 5 o'clock hour as well. But coming up next, Paul Perillo from
Sunshine
Pages.
Sunshine Day!
You know what that means?
Yeah!
What does that mean?
Sunshine Day.
You ready to sing, Murray?
Yes, I'll be doing it as Carlton from Norwell with new lyrics.
Oh, so wait a minute. So we're going to go all right to the guest singers. I like it.
Yep.
Carlton and Norwell will be singing Sunshine Day as Paul Perillo joins us right after Murray's update, 90 seconds, no commercials.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.